This is a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.
Hello, welcome back to the speediest trip across the universe that you can have without stumbling into a black hole that you thought just might be a puddle. My name's Dan, it's another episode of the Fun Kids Science Weekly. And this week on the show, we're speaking to the inventor of an actual robot, which is trying to help manage a football team to glory and bring home the trophies. Also, today's Dangerous Dan, it's all about the animal with possibly the most brutal name that's ever existed. And we'll hear about a dinosaur that's touring across the UK. Oh, plus, recently, if you've been over to Apple Podcasts and you've left the Fun Kids Science Weekly a review, stay there. I might give you a shout out in just a sec. First, let's catch up with one of our favourite geniuses on this show. It's Professor Hallux, and he's back again looking inside your body.
Professor Hallux's kaleidoscopic antibiotic.
Oh, how's the patient? Still poorly?
Well, I've been to the doctor, and she's given me some medicine to help get rid of this horrible bacterial infection. Antibiotics? Amazing, really, how they work. You tell them, computer.
Most coughs and colds get better on their own. Antibiotics are special medicines which help treat serious infections caused by bacteria, and only bacteria. They simply do not work against other harmful microbes such as viruses. The very first antibiotic to be used was penicillin, and it's all thanks to Alexander Fleming in 1928. He had returned to his laboratory after a holiday to find things in a dreadful mess.
Sounds familiar.
Dirty petri dishes and test tubes were everywhere. But he noticed that a mould growing on a dish had begun to kill a bacteria called Streptococcus that was also on the dish. This was Penicillium. And from his discovery, this mould and others like it were grown and turned into medicines to treat infections. These medicines are called antibiotics. Anti meaning against, and biotic meaning living thing.
You see, maybe there's a discovery in one of my mucky test tubes.
Yes, I put my money on a whole new life form.
There are several ways in which antibiotics can be used. In the form of a pill or capsule, or a cream you can rub onto your skin. If someone is very sick, antibiotics can also be injected directly into the patient's bloodstream.
Oh, how are you taking yours?
Capsules, nurse. They're a type of penicillin called amoxicillin. It works well against infections such as mine, which are caused by the pneumococcus bacteria.
The ones that hang about in pairs?
That's right. Two antibiotics, three times a day for 5 days. The doctor said it's really important to finish all of them as this is a serious infection. Why don't you have a look inside me and see how they're getting on? You can use my amazing heli-telly bubble. Shrink to the size of an atom and have a poke around.
I'm on it. Back in a jiffy.
Heli-telly bubble, ready for launch in 3, 2, 1.
Gosh, looks like the professor really is very ill. Those pneumococci bacteria are doubling in number every 30 minutes. But I think things might be about to change. I can see the antibiotics moving around the harmful bacteria. Oh, it looks like that bacteria has exploded.
The bacteria hasn't strictly exploded. The antibiotics have just interfered with how its cell wall is built, causing it to burst. That means the bacteria can't survive.
The pneumococci are definitely under attack. They want to keep reproducing, but the antibiotics are fighting hard.
Not all antibiotics work in the same way. Some, such as ciprofloxacin, prevents bacteria from reproducing by halting important cell enzymes. Others, like erythromycin, interfere with protein synthesis. Bacteria bacteria needs proteins to grow and function. And remember, antibiotics are only effective for bacterial infections. If you've got a cold, some types of sore throat, or athlete's foot, you'll need different treatments because those infections are caused by different microbes.
Well, I can see why it's important to finish all your antibiotics. Even though many bacteria have been destroyed, the remaining bacteria will carry on trying very hard to reproduce. The antibiotics can't let up for a minute.
Doctors want antibiotics to keep on working, and to do this, it's important to use them correctly. If you don't take them as your doctor or nurse says, harmful bacteria that remain alive may develop a resistance before they are wiped out. This makes it harder for antibiotics to work the next time.
Sounds like a battle in there.
Well, I can report that your antibiotic is getting to work, Professor. Hopefully you should be feeling better soon. I'll leave them to finish the fight.
Antibiotics are only for the person for whom they were prescribed. Different types of antibiotics are given for different infections, and it can be dangerous to share them. Whenever you are feeling unwell, make sure you get plenty of rest and keep yourself healthy. You don't want to get run down.
Okay, no sharing of antibiotics or infections.
Professor Hallex's Kaleidoscopic Antibiotic, with support from eBug and Public Health England. Find out more at funkidslive.com/hallux or visit e-bug.eu.
Now, if you've got a question about science that you want answered by a proper expert, you need to go through me first. You can tell me what it is, and you can get a shout out for yourself as well by leaving it as a review over on Apple Podcasts. Find the Fun Kids Science Weekly. Leave us your name. Drop 5 stars if you can. There's a little comment box in the bottom where you can leave me your question. And this week, you've been very busy. Got loads of science questions on there. Thank you so much if you've taken the time to leave us a review. Let me rattle through some now. Hello to Elizabeth, who is 6 years old, who wants to know why shrimps are see-through. Well, Elizabeth, not all of them are. You might be thinking of the ghost shrimp. They're see-through. Quite often you can buy them as pets and you shove them in your fish tank at home and they'll scuttle and float around the edge, eating and sucking up all the unwanted grime and dirt and bacteria that other creatures in there don't want to go near. But if you dive right down into the bottom of the ocean, quite a few fish are transparent down there because it's so dark that they've not had to evolve skin to shy them away from other predators. And also them being transparent does help them work better when it is dark because they can see other creatures around them, maybe that are their friends or their foes. Elizabeth's asked another question as well. She wants to know why and how the wind blows. Elizabeth, I can answer this one for you right now. It's all to do with how hot the world gets. You see, in warmer parts on the planet, you know, in the tropics and around the equator, it's warmer, so the air heats up. And one of the first rules of science is that hot air rises, and when it rises up, it pushes the cold air down. So you've got this constant flow and this cycle of air moving round and round in a big circle all over the Earth, and it gets faster and the wind gets stronger depending on how hot and how cold different places are. That's why you might hear in the news about winds and weather that affects the UK and different places around the world often comes from because other places on the planet are hotter than we are. So that's why, Elizabeth, a great question. Also, I want to say a quick hello to Santi, who has asked one of my favourite questions ever on this show. He's 7 years old. He wants to know, how does your brain tell your feet to walk? I need a proper genius to answer this one for you, Santi. I'm going to do my best to try and find a psychology and biology expert to tell you the answer. Thank you so much for getting in touch. If you've got a science question that you want answered, leave it as a review for the Science Weekly over on the Apple Podcast Store. Right, it's the Fun Kids Science Weekly. Now, imagine for a second that you're a football manager and you need to make your team better. Now, it's easy. If you're one of the best sides in the world, if you're Juventus, done. You'll go out and buy Ronaldo, no questions asked. But what if you're not? What if you're Wingate and Finchley FC, who play in the 7th tier of English football? Well, then I guess it would be easy as well. You just employ an actual robot. Now, Stuart Haig is an AI expert at Greenshoot Labs who have partnered with the Big Bang Fair, who have helped Wingate and Finchley FC make this happen. They've almost got an AI in charge. Stuart, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, no worries. Nice to speak to you.
Well, let's start at the beginning then. What do you do when you've got a football club that say, look, we're not doing too well, We need a robot to help us out. You've got a blank canvas there. How do you even begin to make it work?
So really, I guess the first thing we had to do is kind of work out what the problem space was. So when we came to this originally, we kind of tried to have a look at what data we had available, you know, what we could make work, and how we could come up with some decisions that would hopefully help them. One of the things that became kind of quite evident quite early on was that data really wasn't something that was hugely available, either with Wingate or with many of the small clubs, really. You know, lots of the bigger clubs have the advantage of having huge reams of data to be able to look through and to be able to, you know, make decisions based on that. But it became quite clear that one of those things that wasn't really available was this data. So the problem kind of became twofold. One way, how can we help them collect this data? And two, how can we help them kind of make some decisions based on the data that they are building? So basically, I think we decided what would be best is to use, you know, a smart speaker to be able to help the coach, you know, ask the right questions of the coach to be able to come up with some decisions based on that. So, yeah, it was really a two-part attack.
So tell me more about the smart speaker then. What does it do?
So it's got a number of things kind of programmed into it. So it will help you with some pre-game tactics, some in-game tactics. It will give you advice for, you know, while the game's going on, if you have a player sent off, or what your advice on what your current scoreline is. But you know, the main thing that we are kind of data modelling around was the pre-game tactics and strategy. So it will, yeah, you'll kick it off, and it will ask the manager or the coach a number of questions about the strengths and weaknesses of their team at the moment, of the opponent's team, and how they kind of feel about the game coming up. So all sorts of questions around, you know, what's the strongest part of the team. It will ask you to rank your kind of midfield, defence, attack. Ask you a little bit about the opposing team, same sort of questions around midfield, defence and attack. And based on those questions that is built up, it will send them through back into what we've called our reasoning engine. Now, we've managed to come up with a data model for different tactics, strategies. We'll take those inputs and try and come up with the best weighted option and give some advice to the coach. Now, obviously, it's early days. And so, you know, the advice that comes up, we're kind of saying it's, you know, it's augmenting and helping out what the coach would be able to do. So at first, you know, it's going to be given some good insight. But the more as it progresses and our models build up and become stronger and filled in with more data, you know, the better those recommendations can become.
And generally, how many recommendations are there, do you think, at the moment? Are they quite limited in that multiple situations in a match might lead to the same decision by the AI? Or does it have an option for almost every permutation of things that could be happening?
No, so you know, this is early days, so there's a lot more that can be put in there. At the moment, there's still many permutations because there's lots of different questions that can be asked. But you might get situations, yeah, where the AI is coming up with the same kind of tactic. But this is where using data about the game as it's going on and post game, we're going to be able to improve our models and be able to come up with better decisions.
Now, what confuses me about this is how your AI knows the answers. You know, you've got some of the greatest football minds in the world who still, even though they've won European Cups after European Cups, Premier Leagues after Premier Leagues, they can't figure it out. How have you built a robot that can logically see a solution to a whole range of options that are available to it?
Well, again, like I said, this is the early days, really. But I mean, what we've done is we've been able to go through the decisions that the greats have made, be able to look at past game data, and really it's about trying to knuckle that down into raw numbers. And so, like, you know, you're completely right. It's a big thing, and there's still lots of scope for this to be improved. But what we've done is take those decisions and take what's happened in the past, basically almost kind of take the textbook of football and try and condense that into you know, a form that can be crunched into numbers.
So as you say, even though it's early days, maybe if we think, I don't know, 5 years into the future of this project, are you hoping to get it to the point where it can react almost instantly in game? So, you know, you're playing a team, you've just got a man sent off, but you're 1-0 down. You still want to go and try and win the game. It's a big match for you. Are you hoping that this AI will, you know, churn all of that detail to find an option that could potentially help you get the 3 points?
Yeah, this is it. Like you said, it is an ongoing thing. So, from talking to the manager at Finchley and Wingate, Yeah, he's had some great ideas around how we could potentially be using GPS on the players' shirts and even chips within the football, so that we're getting live data directly streamed in. At the moment, the way that data comes in is just literally by talking to the smart speaker and updating it and letting it know what's going on, and it will be a bit of advice back. But yeah, sure, in the future, there's more and more data that we get to feed in, the better it's going to be. So it's going to be able to come up with some decisions based on that. But it's also going to let the managers and the football team just be able to interrogate it. So if you've got this amount of data that's sitting there, it's not a very easy task to be able to look through that manually. So we even foresee this, you can ask it a situation, ask how it performed, ask what happened in past events, and it'll be able to come back and tell you that. But again, another key thing that we're kind of looking at is really helping teams build this data. So what we want to be able to do is to see this in the hands of smaller Sunday leagues, football teams, school teams and the like, and just really let them use this and let it help them. They can look back at their past performances and really start gaining the data that they didn't have before.
Now, what I love about AI, and I love it with my smart speaker that I've got at home right now, and it's much the same with the thing that you're building, is that it knows how to learn itself. It like the one that I've got in my house, it will track what music that I'm constantly asking for, what things that I'm trying to, I'm telling it to buy on the internet, and it kind of helps build a picture of my life. I'd imagine in the same way as yours is helping build a picture of the team that it's helping to coach. How do you program, in the simple terms that you can give us, how do you program an AI to learn as if it was a sentient human?
Well, I mean, we try and make it look like it's getting close to being a sentient human, but really, artificial is the key word. So everything that we do, we're leveraging on existing technology, really. So lots of the kind of conversational voice stuff, that's handled, and there's lots of toolkits out there that's kind of doing that for us. So really, the bit that we're looking at is just that data that comes in and how we can churn that. So we're just, everything that's said to it is being saved. The models that we've got are models that can be adapted and updated so that the can change over time based on that data. So really, it's just about a kind of a reciprocal thing where it builds up and persists and saves as much data as it got, and we try to kind of tell it how to use that data to come up with decisions. But really, it is a gradual process that improves over time.
Stuart, thank you so much for coming on, and go on the Blues. That's what we want. Thank you so much. Cheers for coming on the Fun Kids Science.
Yeah, cheers. No worries.
Right, it's time for this week's Dangerous Dan, where we talk about some of the most mean and deadly things around. And this week, we've got a creature with possibly the greatest name that anything we've ever spoken about. Let me introduce you to the killer bee. It also goes by the name of the Africanized bee, but most people know it as the killer bee. These beasts, they swarm around in large groups. They go farther and faster than any other type of bee when they're on the chase. Now, let me get this out of the way. They're not extremely deadly. They're not the most evil creature we've ever spoken about. Their sting isn't much more potent and powerful than any other bee, really, but they just look cruel. You should see these things. They're smaller and they're darker than any other, really. They're really aggressive and defensive as well. If troubled by a human, the killer bee will attack in a huge group with colonies that can contain up to 80,000 other members, and they target the face and the eyes of humans, and they'll follow a victim for miles around, swarming near them, and they'll be alert for 24 hours. When they've been attacked, they'll be waiting for anyone else that might be a predator so they can go after and try and get the sting in. Now, this is really cool, actually, about the killer bee. You see, it was first introduced to Brazil in South America in the 1950s to increase the honey production over there. But 26 swarms then escaped from quarantine, and they spread. They flew through South America, terrorizing every creature in their wake. Then they arrived in North America years later, where still today they continue to buzz, hover, and cause terror wherever they fly. It's time to take to the skies this week on the Fun Kids Science Weekly and catch up with our weather genius, Marina Ventura, and learn all about the climate.
Marina Ventura's Climate Explorers.
Hi
Hi there, Marina Ventura here. I love finding out about the natural world, and that includes the Earth's climate. We know that weather can change from one day to the next, but climates can change too, over the time span of years, centuries, or even longer. So I'm on a mission to fill MapApp with the latest climate information with the help of some awesome climate explorers. Come on then, let's go. We've been finding out that the climate naturally changes over time, but that humans are having an impact too. The planet is experiencing extreme weather conditions and rising sea levels, which are affecting not only humans, but all animals and plant life on Earth too.
Sometimes it's hard to feel like you can make a difference, or it can seem like the problems are so big that nothing will help. But that's not the case.
That's right. There's plenty you can do. Let's talk to another climate explorer who has some great tips for us.
Hi, I'm Rosita, and I'm an energy scientist. The biggest cause of man-made climate change is the gases which are produced when we burn fossil fuels. We burn them to produce energy in power stations that creates electricity so that we can power lights and gadgets. We also burn them to heat our homes, and they're in the fuel we use in our cars. So the simplest way to make a difference is to use less energy that comes from burning fossil fuels. Whenever you're not using the TV, computer, or video game console, switch them off. Don't just leave them on standby. That way, they won't use as much energy. Switching lights off when no one is in a room is another easy way to reduce the amount of energy used. It's easy to switch them off if we all unplugged our mobile phone and tablet chargers after using them. We could close a big coal-fired power station. We could all walk or cycle short distances instead of driving to reduce the amount of fuel we use in our cars. If it's possible, walk or cycle to school instead of taking the bus. You'll get fitter too.
Forest scientist told us that trees absorb carbon in the atmosphere and help reduce the amount of greenhouse gases. So what happens when we cut down forests to make room for farms?
Many acres of forest are lost to farm grains to feed cows, to feed us. This land would be able to feed many more people if we ate the grains ourselves. So by not letting food go to waste or by eating less meat, we have a way to preserve forests and help us reduce the amount of greenhouse gases.
Thanks, Rosita. There are some brilliant tips there.
Marina, we've forgotten something else that kids can do to help tackle climate change.
What's that, Mappy?
They can become climate explorers too.
Of course. We've met lots of really cool scientists who study every corner of the world to find out more about the Earth's climate and how it's changing.
From volcanoes to coral reefs and tropical islands.
Up in the clouds and into the deepest forests.
Looking at animals, plants, fossils and oceans.
Using computers, drones, aeroplanes and lasers. There's tons of careers you can get stuck into when you're a grown-up to really make a difference and learn more about our wonderful planet. Now, what about a walk to the woods to count some tree rings?
Good idea, Marina. I think we've earned a break.
Marina Ventura's Climate Explorers, supported by the Natural Environment Research Council, the science of the natural world. Find out more at funkidslive.com/marina.
Have you seen any of the science that's been all over your news this week? No, don't worry, I've done it for you. The NASA New Horizons probe has sent back its best picture yet of the Ultima Thule object. This is the strange flying object of ice that the probe flew past back on New Year's Day. It was just 6,700 kilometres from the object, and it found that it looks a bit like a snowman. It's got two ginormous balls of ice that are kind of fused together. Now, more data from New Horizons, the probe, it'll come back over the next 20 or so months, because it's still 6.5 billion kilometres away. Also, meat from endangered sharks is finding its way onto British plates. DNA tests show that shark products designed for restaurants include two species that are vulnerable to extinction. Diners, they are probably unaware of what they're eating, but scientists do say that the UK is playing a damaging role in the trade of endangered sharks, which is illegal. And finally, Dippy the dinosaur has gone on public display up in Scotland for the first time in history. This is the replica Diplodocus skeleton. We've heard about this on the show before. We've chatted to one of the experts because it used to be down at the Natural History Museum, but at the moment it's touring the UK. It's 70 foot long, it's got 292 bones, and some geniuses spent five whole days putting it together again for public view. That is it for this week on the Fun Kids Science Weekly. Earlier on, we did quite a smash through some of the shout-outs that you've left us, actually. So thank you so much for that. And if you want one next week, if you've got a science question that you really need answered by a proper genius expert, you need to go through me first. You can do that by leaving it as a review right now over on Apple Podcasts. It's so easy. Find the Fun Kids Science Weekly on there. Drop us 5 stars. Leave your name so I know who you are and who to say hello to. There's a little comment box at the bottom. That's where you need to type in your review, and I will do the rest. Also, while you're on Apple Podcasts, it's one of the best places that you can hear all the brilliant science series that we've got on there that are free for you to download. We've got stuff where we look inside your body, where we travel back in time, where we head up into space. You can also get them over on Spotify. They're on the free Fun Kids app, and you can listen to them at funkidslive.com as well. And Fun Kids are a kids radio station in the UK. You can find us all over the country on a DAB digital radio. We're also on the free Fun Kids app. And as always, have a listen to us at funkidslive.com.
So that was a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.